This line is now off hold. You have entered as an attendee in listen-only mode.
Shalom aleichem, everyone. Welcome as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Vayechi. And I hope that everyone's having a easy and meaningful fast today on Thursday, Asara B'Teves. Now this morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me this chus to be Machnis L'Pisei Shel Avraham Avinu, twin grandchildren, two boys, Baruch Hashem, this morning. And my son, Avia Ben, was Mechabed, his great-grandfather, to be Sandik for both children. And when he said it to me, I didn't respond, but I was thinking that it doesn't fit with the Ramah. The Ramah says that a person should not give two of his children to the same Sandik. Yet, I felt it's the only great-grandfather, and it's appropriate. Then, in the Parsha, we have towards the end of Parshas Vayechi the fact that Yosef was zeche to see great-grandchildren, and the expression the Pasuk uses is that B'nei Machir Ben Menashe Yul Du Al Birkei Yosef, that his great-grandchildren were born on his knees, Al Birkei Yosef, which the Targum Yonason understands to mean is Garerin Al Birkei Yosef. They had a bris milah on the knees of Yosef, and the Mefarish, the one who explains it, says Yosef was a sandik for all of his great-grandchildren. The Yad Shaul, in his notes, the Yaradeya Reish Samachay, asks that the Ramah says that a person should not give two of his children to the same sandik. If so, why was Yosef sandik for multiple children from the same parent? And he answers that we see from here that a great-grandfather is different. That actually he says a grandfather or a great-grandfather is different, and that if one is zeiche to have a great-grandfather, that he could be a sandik even for more than one. A very appropriate vart to see on the day of such a simcha. Let's move a little towards the beginning of the parasha. We have in the very beginning of the parasha the multiple discussions between Yosef and his father Yaakov Avinu. At the end, Yaakov says, "Ani nasati l'choshem achad alachecha." As Rashi explains, he's saying, "Look, I'm bothering you to be involved with my burial, and therefore I'm going to give you a reward. The city of Shem that will fall to your shevet." Rav Druk in the Sefer Yisakashin, he says, "Av mitzia gedaylehu." That's not a great deal, not a great arrangement to have the city of Shem. The city of Shem, Chazal call Makay Muchan Leporadios, a place prepared for problems, for difficulties. It was in the city of Shem that Dina was kidnapped, in the city of Shem that Yosef was sold, in the city of Shem that the Malchus based on it was divided, and in the city of Shem that Agolim Lavay Dezara, that the golden calves were set up in the time of Sefer Malachim to dissuade people from being on the regal. More than that, the Gemara in Makkah says that B'Shem Shlichi Reitzchem was also a city in which the Bein Adam L'Chaveray was not ideal. Shlichi Reitzchem, there were many murderers in the city. So, wow, this city is the city chosen by Yaakov Avinu as a gift to Yosef. That needs explanation. Rav Druk in the Sefer digresses for a moment, and he says that Rav Palm had once told him that in the Haftarah of Rosh Hashanah, there's one pasuk that stands out in Rav Palm's mind, one that is a most special and meaningful pasuk. The pasuk says, "Yesh yoyim karu neitzrim b'har Ephraim, kumu v'nala tziyay nel Hashem l'keinu." A pasuk which describes that in the days of Mashiach, there will be a call in Har Ephraim to come and be Olav Ego. Rav Druk says that at the moment he didn't see why that pasuk stood out. There are some very memorable pasukim in the Avtaira. The famous pasuk of Matzachim Bamidbar, Am Sarid Echarev, or the promise of Vayseh Sifu L'dav Oed. There are pasukim there that are seemingly much more significant. The question is why this pasuk was so significant to Rav Palm. And Rav Druk explains. He says, Har Ephraim, that's the city of Shem. Shem is the city in which the Agolim was set up, Lavay Dezara, in which the golden calves were set up to dissuade people from going to Eretz Yisrael. Rambam would often say that this is a haftacha, a promise from the Navi, that the day will come, that in the very spot, in the very place that people stood up and taught Kfira, and taught Apikorsis, and taught against being Eile Rego, in those very, very locations in Eretz Yisrael, will stand up someday people that will say, "Now let's see Eino Hashem Elokeinu." Rav Palm would speak about the public schools in Israel where they teach Kfira.
Mixed into a discussion of Menashe and Ephraim. Certainly that needs a good answer.
Midrash HaDron beautifully. He says that here, Yaakov Avinu was telling Yosef that Reuven lost the Bechairim. He's going to have only one Shevet. You, on the other hand, will have the Bechairim. The Bechairim is being given to you. And you will have two Shvatim, Menashe of Ephraim to Reuven Shimon Yehuda. Why and what merit? So he explains. He saw that his mother was treated unfairly. When he saw that his mother Leah was treated in a way which was, in his eyes, he behaved, tachas kamayim, he rushed, and he did something which itself was inappropriate. That's why he lost the Bechaira. Well, in order for Yosef to deserve the Bechaira, he would have to stand the same test and see if he'd be any better. Said Yaakov Avinu, ani b'vayini padan nesa my Rachel. Rachel died on the side of the road, and I didn't bury her with me. I buried her on the side of the road and did not take her to be buried in Baras HaMapela. And you said nothing. You didn't complain. I never explained it to you. And you didn't complain. This is the merit that you have to be the Bechar. Because that test which Reuven failed was a test which you passed. What a beautiful explanation, the Derech HaPshat, of Yaakov's words to Yosef. As always, I'd like to end with a kasha or two. First, let me begin with a technical question. When Yaakov speaks to Yosef at the beginning of the parasha, he says to him, I would like you to promise, Vasisa imadi chesed ve'emes, do with me kindness and truth. The Rashi's bothered. Chesed ve'emes are two different things. So Rashi says, chesed shel emes. Chesed you do with someone who is not alive is a true chesed, because you know you will not be repaid. This is somewhat problematic, in that the words chesed ve'emes together have appeared in the past. This is not the first time that chesed ve'emes come together, that Rashi should be bothered and have to answer chesed shel emes. One occasion that comes to mind in Parshas Chayesara, there Eliezer comes and asks for Rivka for marriage for Yitzchak. And he asks in a language of Perchov Dalla Pasim Mentesat and Yeshem Oisim Chesed Be'emes Esadini Hagiduli. Do Chesed Be'emes to my master. Certainly this was not Chesed Shel Emes. This was Chesed Be'emes. So it's a bit difficult to understand what bothered Rashi in our parasha when we find this expression mentioned elsewhere. This is a general question which bothers me often in Tanakh. We find often in Tanakh, including in this week's parasha, the idea that as long as the Shvatim were alive, as long as the Tzaddikim were alive, the Shiva didn't begin. Difficulties began later. We are told that Kibbelon Tzaddikim b'misasam yesem b'chayayim. The merit of a Tzaddik is greater in death than when he's alive. And very often we're taught that when a Tzaddik is not here, he can be payel, he can accomplish more. It's difficult to understand why we find here, and in numerous places, that a tzara begins after a tzaddik dies. If he was able to stand as a merit when he was alive, why in his death did his merit not stand? Something which needs a good marabuk and a good explanation. With that, I wish everyone again a meaningful fast. Let us hope it will come soon to the day when Asara B'Tavis will be turned to a day of Simcha Amayed Yamtis to Beherev Yameinu.